Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to A Time for Justice. A Time for Justice is a show on the Elevated Places Network where we discuss legal and current events in a roundtable discussion with legal minds, educators, social workers, community activists, parents, friends, and people who work in our community. We discuss this country's centuries-long failure to apply, uphold, and enforce the laws, and the overall failures of the legal system to give justice, and the negative impacts these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want fair dealing. We want justice under the law. But all too often, this is not the actions that we see. Our guests tonight will not make those excuses for racist conduct, which really is often seen and is actually a distraction from the truth. And we know that the truth is the path to justice and equal protection. But let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions, which are in the best interest of the people. Let's remove the distractions. Tonight's topic is education, schools, and our children. We're going to talk about comes and solutions. And my name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am your host of the Elevated Places Network, presents A Time for Justice. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we are so excited about this panel and this very, very important topic. As we see the stores racking up with the back-to-school supplies and the backpacks, and, you know, they're ready to put our children on these buses, our children going back into what we know is the pipeline to the prison. Oftentimes, we've had such low outcomes. We're going to talk about that tonight. And really, we want to get to some solutions. We want to talk about some excellence that is really coming from the field of independent education, as well as where we have Black capital, Black professionals who are around our children who really care. So I want to go ahead and open up the mic. We have some really wonderful guests. First, I'm going to open up the mic from our frequent contributor, and that is Sister Judge Nichelle. Our sister Judge Nichelle, she is also Sister Attorney Nichelle Muhammad. She's been a judge since April of 2016 in the Mount Vernon City Court, and our sister has been a practicing attorney for more than 20 years. So I want to go ahead and open up Sister Nichelle's mic. She's a frequent contributor, and we just love having her on. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Nichelle.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Pamela. Family.
Oh, the family is wonderful. All praises are due to Allah and your family, ma'am.
Doing good, ma'am. I want to thank you for inviting me again. Certainly, I'm going to play second fiddle to my sisters that are hard body, what we call hard body in that education system. But I'm hoping in the name of Master Fahd Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I give the greetings to all of our family in the words of Assalamu Alaikum. And I want to say I'm happy to be here, and to the extent that I can contribute on how education has impacted or has something to do with the legal system, what I see, what I do to counteract some of those things. I'm going to love to share, Sister Pamela. So thank you again for having me with a robust amount of professionals in the field of education. And I just hope to support some of their ideas and information by what I see coming through the court system. So I thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All praises are due to Allah. Let me go ahead and open up the mic for our sister, Sister Lisa Muhammad. And Sister Lisa, she gave me some words, and her, under the leadership and guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Sister Lisa Muhammad has been a proud member of the Nation of Islam for the past 35 years. She is the wife of Student Minister Rodney Muhammad of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the proud mother of her son, Rodney Jr., their son, who graduated from college in behavioral neuroscience. So, see, we're already bringing to the table tips on how to have successful, and that's, I wanted to say that in 1996, Sister Lisa received a master's degree in social work from Simmons College. Furthermore, she graduated from North Carolina Central University, which is the historically black college, where she earned an undergraduate degree in political science and pre-law. So Sister Lisa has worked as a clinical social worker for the past 24 years, helping clients to heal in mind, body, and spirit. She also has worked in these areas surrounding trauma, homicide, sexual abuse, environmental stressors. And these things, of course, racism plays a role, grief and loss, family dynamics, and relationship problems. So we want to go ahead and open up Sister Lisa's mic as she tells us that, you know, she is a for mental, social, and emotional healing in the lives of both children and adults. And so I want to open up her mic, and I know Sister Lisa's mic. I'm sorry if I, Sister Lisa, make sure you, I get it. Excuse me, Sister Lisa. I'm sorry. Okay. I do believe I'm going to come on back to Sister Lisa, and we'll come right back. So let me go ahead and open up the mic for our Sister Atala. Sister Atala is a second-generation registered member of the Nation of Islam, and she's a native Texan. Sister Atala graduated from the University of Houston, Bachelor of Arts degree in Marketing and International Studies. After being beginning her career in corporate America, she pretty much decided to serve young adults in education, and she returned to school and graduated with a master's degree in educational leadership in 2005. Also, she obtained her master's degree, and afterwards she taught at a magnet school in the Houston area for 8 years, and she has served as a high school administrator for the past 11 years. And so she wants to let us know that she builds on the foundation set by her parents. Remember, she is a second-generation Muslim, and they, she said, nurtured her spirit of service. Not only is she an advocate and educator, she is also an author and has published a book, Ancestor Voices. So let me go ahead and open up Sister Atala's mic.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pam. Thank you for having me tonight. I am looking forward to this conversation with my sisters on education and what can we do for our students now and in the future. So thank you for having me now.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. And I want to go ahead and open up the mic after I introduce a very, very special guest, and she is a first-time panelist on our show, and I'm so honored to all of our guests and panelists, but, you know, when you're on for the first time, we're just so overjoyed. And this sister, her name is Dr. Kelmer Muhammad. Dr. Kelmer Muhammad received her doctorate's degree in curriculum and instruction in 2013. She was born and raised in the Nation of Islam in Boston, Massachusetts. She has been an educator for over 15 years and runs in Arizona. She is an author and publisher of children's books and is known to many as Professor Kelmer. So let me go ahead and open up the mic for Professor Kelmer. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. All praises due to Allah. I'm happy to join this auspicious panel today. Thank you for inviting me as a first-time guest, as also a first-time educator on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you, too. I'm going to go ahead and make that I open up the mic for Sister Lisa because she's on. See, because so as we are definitely getting our group, our panel discussion, again, the topic is education, schools, and our children, outcomes and solutions. So why don't we want to talk about the importance of Black teachers. We want to talk about this educational system and really what is the root cause we're thinking of the failure. And I want to, Dr. Kelmer, if you'd like to begin the discussion on that, I know you have many, many years of work in this area.
Yes, ma'am. So one of the things that we have to look upon is that the educational system was not built for us to succeed in. A great document, and if you ever get a chance to look at it, is called Waiting for Superman. The education system was built in the 1950s, and basically we're still using that same type of educational program. So when when the federal government stepped in, I believe it was the No Child Left Behind under the Bush era, he took away a lot of the funding that normally a lot of the social programs that many of us grew up with. Remember how we had home economics and all these other different programs. But when the government stepped in, the federal government stepped in, then you don't have the PTAs, and then you had a lot of the teachers' union came in and got some of those federal dollars. So when the federal government stepped in, it took away from the states' rights, and basically our education system went downhill. We were in the top 10 of the first world countries at that time. We had China, India, but now the United States education system is ranked under 20th in math and science. So we're no longer in the top 10 anymore. And that is because they're using the No Child Left Behind, those laws in the federal government, and because the state is dependent on that money now, that now the school system is failing. And they're using this a way to build for the prison pipeline. So if a child does not read or write between the third and fourth grade, a prison bed is built for that child. So I'm just going to start right there. If anybody else want to jump in to know a little bit of the history of why the American public school system now is failing. It's not just failing our children, it's failing all children now.
Absolutely. This is Sister Lisa Muhammad. And Dr. Kelmer, you make a very, very valid point. My mic is now open, so I just want to begin by saying in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I do bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his true servant and last apostle, and that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our leader, teacher, and guide. Dr. Kelmer, you are so right with regards to the prison to pipeline, not only when that child has difficulties reading, but there's also a pattern of disciplinary and the way children are dealt with, and they kind of set up that record to set up the school-to-prison pipeline by saying negative things about that child and by focusing more on that child's gaps and opposed to their strengths. I mean, you and I know that our children are suffering. Our children are still suffering from the injustices created 400 years ago with slavery. A lot of our children have low self-esteem. A lot of our children are constantly being traumatized by environmental stressors such as racism, institutional racism. Mm-hmm. You know, our children have not been taught the true knowledge of self as it relates to their greatness. And as a result, they have issues that we need to support them with and work through so they can tap into their inner greatness. So I'm glad you raised that point, Dr. Kelmer, and thank you so much for having me as a part of this panel.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Lisa, and welcome to the panel, beloved. I'm so happy to hear your voice. And, you know, as Sister Lisa has worked in the area of social work in the educational setting as well, you know, she brings to this discussion such, you know, knowledge about our children. So, you know, just kind of wanted to pick up on a couple things I heard, because as we look at this panel and we talk about education, one of the issues that we must look at is that, according to an article entitled In the American Public Education System, Black Children Are the New Cotton. And this was an article written by Christopher Stewart, and that was a 2022 article, June 28, 2022. And one of the things he brought out is that we have over 8 million black children, and he says the minds of our race and the hope of our future, and we're giving them over to an educational system owned and operated, and this was an interesting point, owned and operated by white governors, billion-dollar textbook companies, 3 million mostly white teachers, and 14,000 school boards composed of members who are generally white and wealthy and, you know, even just different from that community. So I thought that was a very important issue, and it kind of goes along with, you know, we talk as a legal show, so we talk about Brown versus Board of Education, and we talk about integration and how black children were sent into integrated schools. We used to have our own schools. The outcomes, I think, of professionalism and black self-esteem, as Kelmer has said, were so important. So I just wanted to bring that point out as we talk about the fact also about the importance of black teachers. And as he said, black capital, educational capital, where you have black-run spaces, you know, and teachers and principals and administrators, and how that affects the impressionable black youth that are coming into these schools. So I just kind of wanted to put that out, you know, as well as one of the talking points. So, sir, Attila or Judge Nichelle, did you want to make any comments on anything that's been said?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum again. I do agree with everything that all of my sisters have said. We have to truly understand from our students' perspective and our children's perspective that when they go to school, they look for someone who looks like them. And it's not just a person that physically looks like them. It is someone who truly can advocate for them, that can be a role model for them. I remember growing up listening to a lecture where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in his lecture that we have to give our children the best education that money can't buy. You know, growing up as a child, I didn't understand that until I got older. What we have to do, we have to start loving our children again. Children will not perform if they do not feel loved, and love is being honest with them. Now, even though I work in the public school system, I do feel that independent education is the best for our children. We have control of our curriculum. We have control over what is important and what we need to teach our children. But as Sister Ava said, we have to deal with what our present reality is. And I just wanted to add one more point to the present reality. Just last week, I attended a training about the rise of suicide in Black adolescent girls. Now, that really touched me as a mother first and as someone who worked with our young girls. I think one thing as adults, what we need to stop doing is saying, I remember there was a time what Black people did not do. And we have to realize that the society that we live in, we cannot say what we no longer did. Our children are being impacted. And we have to address it to say, what are we going to do about it to bring us back to that state where we were more godly and more community-oriented. So I do appreciate hearing the sister say, what are the mental health needs of our children?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to be quiet right now and just listen. But I just wanted to bring that part to the conversation also.
And
yes, ma'am.
May I interject too?
Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
sister,
ma'am.
You want to take the floor? Go.
Yes, ma'am. Very quickly, sis, if I can. Thank you, Sister Nichelle. So let me say this, family. I mean, of course, I agree with all of the sisters with their unique perspective on this stuff. And I can tell you that in my court, we had a youth part. And one of the things we had to actively do is make sure that they were going to school. And what I was able to see as a judge over this particular part of youth is that they were not going to school. But it doesn't make sense if they're going to upseeing themselves where they're not learning adequately, nobody's addressing their needs, and they're being taught the archaic system that nobody wants to change. The truth is not being taught there. They're not learning about their true history. They are not learning anything. They're not stimulated to go to class, but it's not that they're not intelligent. I remember there was a study done that said a lot of Black children are multijudinal. Multijudinal means that they have the ability to do 5, 6, 7 things at one time. And when they're not tantalized or their intellect is not being stimulated in an environment, they become problems because they are bored. But this is a school system that does not recognize that these children are supremely gifted and can do so much more than the limited stuff that they give them. So they become bored, and then they're tagging them as being having ADHD. They have a problem with concentration and sitting still. Then they medicate them. It's just a whole thing, a system that is set up to fail for our children. And I agree with the other panelists. We have to do something better. There's so much that I had to do as a parent in debriefing my children when they got home or adding in stuff that they were never even exposed to. So I thank God for the wisdom that we have, that we knew that when they came home out of that education, that we had to educate them more or give them the information that they did not get. So I think our children have benefited from parents who know better, but the system itself should be better than that, because how many of our children are there whose parents don't know better and are not able to do that for them? And that's the masses of our people. So the school system has to be overhauled, and it's got to be new, and I'm not sure that this world can provide that. And that's why we talk about separation. We talk about our schools, our separate schools. And I'd like to talk later on about the Supreme Court decision where a child now can take that money into a private and a religious school if that's what they see fit. So thank you for allowing me to share.
And yes, ma'am. And
you make
I just
want to point.
I'm sorry. Who? Okay,
Sister
right
Lisa, I can wait. I can yield if there was someone else who's going to speak. But I think what Sister Nichelle said about us needing our own schools, because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Honorable Elijah Muhammad have taught us that the schools are our enemies. They're killing fields for our children.
Killing fields.
And our
Come
children
on.
Are bright, and they are because they are not being challenged. It is absolutely the responsibility of the parent to sit down and debrief your child on a nightly basis and to know what your child's learning and to supplement it. That's a must. Until we can get our own schools, we have to move forward with that. And when they are in school, it's so important for them to see teachers and principals and judges and social workers and educators who look like them, who are culturally competent in the sense that they are loving the children from a place, coming to them from a place of love and being able to motivate them. Because when children are not challenged, you and I know that they become bored. And when they become bored in the presence of a white person, that person labels them, like Sister said, as ADHD or as a problem. And that's when you get the school to pipeline scenario set up. So there's a lot that we need to do because, and they're drugging them up, and the social workers are filing 51As. You know, we have to get away from that. We have to get away because our children are 30% the population, but they are 100% the future.
That's right. Beautiful. That's right. Professor Kelmer, I know you wanted to add. Go right ahead, sis, please.
Right, because I'm going to piggyback with the sister says, and, you know, we can always talk about the problems, and we already know what the problem is, but now it's time to talk about some of the solutions to getting our children out of these killing fields. And one of the things that I love, everything, Allah is, you know, we are in the dark period. And Allah is moving us towards independent and towards separation. 2020, we had the COVID hit, made everyone stay at home, and this is what caused a lot of our children to go into depression because they were used to being around their own peers and so forth. So keeping them in the home for about a year or 2 years, that is just, you know, you're going to, I know a lot of children that, well, not a lot, but I know some of the students that try to commit suicide because they were not. My daughter is in the health field too, and she said every day she was, you know, putting children in the hospital because they always kept talking about committed suicide. Now, that was in 2021, and then now you hear we're in a crash. Arizona, for example, the state I'm living in, and I know this is in all the states, that we have a high teacher turnover rate. Teachers are not coming back to schools because of the simple fact that you saw what happened in the last incident, 19 children being killed, and now they're trying to get teachers to carry guns. Education is the only one of the biggest fields where teachers have to go out their own pocket to pay for supplies because they do not honor teachers. Well, now what's happening now, the teachers have said, I'm fed up. This is not, it's not worth it no more. And so school districts and states are struggling and scrambling to get teachers. Our governor in Arizona have just signed into law that you don't even need a degree anymore. You can have a high school diploma going, getting one kind of education, and we can hire you as a teacher. That's how bad it is in Arizona. But the good news is, and it's coming too because I'm looking online for universal school vouchers. These are state money that all of us, we pay into the state for education. So now what the states are doing, they're giving that money and putting it in the parents' pocket, and now the parents now can take their dollars, their state dollars, and pay for private education or homeschool if they like. And all praise is due to Allah in Arizona. Our governor signed it into law, and since then I have been getting two or three calls a day where parents are now saying, can I get my child into your school? Because the biggest problem and the biggest hindrance with our children is that we didn't have the funding. Now it's pushing towards this way now, this universal school vouchers, that now parents are having a way that now we can open up doors and opportunities where we can take those teachers that say, you know what, you were fed up. Okay, we can get our black teachers and our black schools, our churches, and we can start using those money to pay for teachers and paying for the education that we need. And so this is the time now we need to start marketing and rallying for universal school vouchers because nobody wants to put our children in these killing fields no more, and that the government and the states are running amok because they don't have the teachers to support the public school industry. This thing is dying and it's going down. It's like a dinosaur. So it's happening and it's time for us now, especially those in the nation, that now we can use this money and we can advocate for our own schools. And we can do this now.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah,
there
beautiful.
Is no at this point.
Yes, you're right. So I want to just announce to the listeners, if you would like to make a question, have a question, or make a comment, please press the number 1 to get into the host queue on this really insightful conversation that we're having. Because as one author said, you know, after family, school is the second most important informative site of socialization for children and adolescents. This is where they learn their social norms for behavior and interaction and receive moral guidance, as the sister is saying. And I think it's very important because as a parent, you know, we drop our children off at school, and this is where they spend a lot of their time. And so when we're looking at the outcomes, when we're looking at some of the failures and some of the you know, just downright depression or whatever our children are experiencing, we got to look at these educational environments. And finally, I just wanted to quote from an article by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He teaches us, and this is Brother Shaheed in an article, he's saying that in study guide number 2, building human potential, he said that our goal in life is to become one with Allah. Proper education should provide the student with what is needed to become one with Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's very important. Always words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in terms of what's proper education. And so, yeah, we got some people who have some questions and some comments, and so we're going to get to those. But something you said, Professor Gilmer, I really want to just ask you to elaborate on, because you were talking about the prison beds, and we know about the fourth grade results. And there was an author who talked about, he talked about development of children and learning and when is some of the prime times that children do learn. And he talked about black children as pre-kindergartners and kindergartners and how important that time is. He also talked about how gifted children are another area where they're not being educated properly, you know, in terms of curriculum and enrichment. Is there something that you could add to that for us, please, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
They did a study, I think it was 10 years ago, and I'm trying to bring up the author or the person. It's called the School to Prison Pipeline. And basically what they learned that if a child is not reading by the third or fourth grade education, because this is what they're basing it on, that they would make a prison bed because they know they were going to get into a life of crime. And particularly it was black and Hispanic students. And so if you look at it, at the third grade, this is when a child becomes 9 years old, that the teacher, and typically it would usually be a white female teachers, they couldn't handle our male students. And so she would get intimidated by them. And so basically they would call them problem children. And then either they would try to put them on Ritalin or they would rebel because they can tell that they were not being taught properly, or they were not being handled properly, because especially when you have that young male, he's becoming more into the knowledge of himself, and he's rebelling against things that are wrong. So then next you know, what happens is that during the third grade education, he starts to rebel against injustice. And so this was all designed because the simple fact that many white teachers in urban districts or school settings in those low-income poverty district, they will put them in it. Oh, if you can go into the school setting, we can get some of your education, you know, debt written off. So they would go in there, you know, thinking, well, I'm only going to do this for a time, but in the meantime, they're doing the damage to our children. So basically, it was all designed for them to belittle our children, to bring down their self-esteem and so forth. And if you look at the movie Malcolm X, it was during the fourth and fifth grade education that basically they start feeding that kind of knowledge into them. Oh, you're not going to be worth anything. Only thing you can be is a basketball player, or you can't be a doctor. And so then you put them in a poverty. They're not eating right. There's no father in the family and things like that. Mom's working two jobs. They have to deal with drugs and so forth. That this bed was designed for them, and they were banking on it because, the United States is the only one who has private prison industry that the state has made a contract with them that we will give you so many children a year to fill up those prison beds. And this is what it was designed to do.
Yes, ma'am, beautiful. Sister Lisa, did you have something you wanted to add? Because, as you're saying, we talk about the perceptions and the racial biases. And according to this author, and this was an article written by Sister Nisa in The Final Call, and she says that the research says that learning loss for black children actually occurs in pre-K when a black 3-year-old or 4-year-old experiences their teacher's biases or racism. And so I think now we're seeing with all these shootings, with all these murders, and so we're seeing that these biases, like you mentioned about our brother Malcolm, you know, this is intentional hatred for our children that's actually being raised in these classrooms where I believe the stats say that 79% of the teachers in public schools are white.
Absolutely. We have white teachers, white social workers, white female social workers, white administrators, and they're all working together for the despised and of our children. You know, even Wall Street is invested in prisons. And the truth is, many schools have been failing our children, not teaching to their potential. And these white teachers are often distracted, in some cases biased and annoyed by our children who come to school with so much on their young minds. So teachers are focusing more on the gaps that the children have and opposed to their strengths and nurturing their strengths. And those are some of the systemic failures. But there are also systemic failures with regards to health care. There are long waiting lists, not accepting insurances. But most importantly, it's difficult to find providers who are culturally competent. You know, they have their own fear of the black child who finishes his work quickly and is moving around and talking or challenging what's being taught in the social studies curriculum. So I think that that's a major problem that has to be addressed. And we talk a lot about the problem, but I think to find a solution, we have to go to the root of the problem. And I respectfully suggest that we need our own schools. We need to independent schools where we can have more control of the curriculum by sitting on the boards and the curriculum committees. I think that homeschooling can also be effective. I think to have it happen simultaneously. I know we taught our child, not that he was so bright, but we put the work in. He was already doing double-digit math by the time he went into K-2, first grade, already reading black books about the melanin in his skin. And we were already those trips to the Black Wax Museum in Baltimore where you could see life-size figures of mentors that we have. And, you know, you had even Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in that museum. And, you know, the first open-heart surgeon and the doctor to do the plasma and develop the elevator and the shoulder suit. We have to teach our children about their greatness from a young age. We should be reading to them in the womb. We should be buying only toys that help them with problem-solving skills. I think that's real important. We should be making science fun. My husband, who's also an educator, had a book where 100 projects, science projects you can do with your child at home. You know, we have to invest in these because if they don't treat you right, they're not going to teach you right.
Teach you right. That's right.
I
think we need to be careful about what kind of food they're feeding our children. You know, I see children walking into school with chips and all this. Come here, baby, that's not food. Even though I'm a social worker, we had a building. I said, let me show you how to cook something from scratch. We're not eating
that's
chips
right.
and Doritos. That's not how we're going to do it today. And so I think that we have to be careful about not only the food for thought, but the food they're putting in their body. And so there's just so much that we can do as the mothers of civilization and the brothers and the fathers of civilization. They stole it, but we have to return it.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to take a couple of callers. They've been waiting so patiently. We have a sister, I believe her name is Sister Yajida. Sister Yajida. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. It's Sister Yajida.
Yajida. Yes, ma'am. I apologize. Yes, ma'am.
It's okay. So Sister Lisa invited me, and thank you so much, Sister Lisa, for inviting me. And she probably said Sister Robin 2X because nobody knows my name. I changed my name. So I bear witness that everybody that has spoken has told the truth. And I'm so happy to have been invited on here. I do have a question, but first let me just say that I as well am a social worker. And I started my own practice. And because of my ad, I get black women. I get so many women that I need help. And I ask them what made them choose me, and I know what they're going to say, but I ask anyway. Our people are waking up, and they are tired of the nonsense, and I just wanted to say that. And I've also written a book myself for parenting groups for black parents because I came out of working in a system where I was running all kinds of groups where we act like black people are just white people painted black, and I would get in trouble because I'd bring up stuff. You know, I would bring up things that mattered to us, and I'd bring up the elephant in the room. White folks don't like that. They want me to stick with the curriculum-based whatever, that had nothing to do with us, and the fathers of psychology don't look like us. So I had problems, and they got rid of me. They didn't like me, and I have my own practice now, and that's where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me. He told us, do for self, and I prayed for years, how do I do for self? But anyway, thank you for letting me say all of that. My question is to the sister in Arizona. Can you specifically tell me what to do, me personally, individually, to get state dollars back in parents' pockets so that we can do what you're doing in Arizona, so that we can start our own, we have started, but it's very small, to help us grow and build our own school systems?
All praise is due to Allah. So every state right now has a school voucher program. If you go onto your state website, educational website, they will tell you where the school voucher is. When you go on there, they'll tell you exactly how to apply for those vouchers. Remember, these are state vouchers. Even if you call up your state education department, find out what it is that they need, and are they going to be moving towards a universal school voucher program? Arizona have done it, and I know two other states have moved towards a universal school voucher program. And so if you go there, find out where, call the education hotline, ask them, do we have a school voucher program? What are the qualifications at this time? And are we moving towards a universal school voucher system? Because you know how before they didn't want to give charter school, now every state can have a charter school. But charter school is just as worse as public schools. We need our own independent schools. And the best way to pay teachers at this point is taking those state dollars and putting it back into the parents' hand, into your hand, so that you can open up your own independent private school. Once you get that done and you find out what the information is, please give me a call back, and I can let you know what you can go do from there on and how to go ahead and tap into those dollars.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you so much.
I answered your question, sister.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, you answered my
question. Uh-oh, I'm sorry, yes. Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. You were saying your question has the answer to. Yes, okay. Yeah, and we just want to refer people to an article There is an empowerment scholarship account program in the state of Arizona. It looks like their governor just signed this legislation. He's quoted as saying, with this legislation, Arizona cements itself as the top state for school choice and as the first state in the nation to offer all families the option to choose the school setting that works best for them. So that is in the state of Arizona. But thank you so much, Professor Kestmer, for giving us the information. So I'm going to go ahead and take a couple more calls. I'm sorry. I am so sorry, Professor Kelmer. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And so, Sister Ula, you have a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ula.
Well, I go along, Sister Attorney Pamela. My comment is I did a research paper on the educational system in the black community for my master's degree. And one of the things I learned was that 80% of all the teachers in public schools are Caucasian white women. They go to school, and then their husbands become judges. I mean, they help their husbands through school, and many of them become judges. And this is probably connected to why when a black man gets killed by a police officer, they get no justice. That's just my comment. Thank you for letting me share. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Pamela, you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. Sister Daryl. Sister Daryl. Wa alaikum salam. How are you, sir? Yes.
I'm fine. How's the family? Sister Pamela. I have to get used to getting on Tuesday because I always miss your show. But my question is, everything that Sister speaking about, I just want to call back on it. It is true. It is definitely a killing field. Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us as I was going to the University of Islam that we had, Glenn's, we had black teachers. We had study, farming, science. Everything that we needed was there and still is. And I think a lot for our sister that son just graduated at the age of 14, that we have to take advantage of these programs that sister is speaking about to get funding into the University of Islam and also start teaching our children, homeschooling them, because this is a killing field. And it's not by accident, it's by design. And that's why they are saying that they're not taught by the age of the third or fourth grade, this doors is open for them to go into prison. And we have to come quick in understanding that we have to get our children out of these schools fast. I don't know if you heard about just not too long ago, I was hearing it on one of the programs, Ugly's show. He was speaking about how over the 18-year-old stood off 400 police. I don't know if you heard about it, why they was killing our children, and they did not do anything about it. They even said they didn't want none of the videos to get out of showing the faces of our children. This has to stop. We have to come together quick and not even allow and prepare our children for going back to school. We should be trying to prepare them to not to go back to any of the public schools, and we need to come together soon as possible and separate and get our children out of this killing field. Assalamu alaikum. Love you all. Stay safe.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Love you too, Brother Daryl. Thank you for that call. Next we have Sister Dora. Sister Dora Muhammad. Sister Dora, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for answering my call. I do have a couple
thank
of questions for Sister Lisa. This is Sister Dora Muhammad from Boston. I have a question for Sister Lisa and Dr. Kelmer. I want to explain my current situation with my nephew and my family. My nephew is 19 years old. He graduated from a METCO program school, which is a program that buses inner city children to white schools. Right now, my sister, he just graduated recently, maybe last year. She sent him to Virginia College, which is in the South. He couldn't even get through it, not even 6 months, because he appears to be afraid of black people. And it's so crazy in my head right now. So what happened was he pulled out of that. Father just passed in January 23rd, 2022. May Allah be pleased with him. I tried to put him in a trade program here in Boston. He went, black teachers couldn't get through it. Okay? What recently happened is he was shopping in Cambridge, Massachusetts at a mall. I call them the jump out boys or the boys on the, you know, Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Okay? They got a hold of him in the mall. Now he's with them. Cut off all of us. So I need advice on how to handle the situation. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot in this, and it's worrisome. If anybody can support me on this or answer my question or... I just
want to thank you so much for that. Go ahead. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Well, the only thing I would suggest, this is for Sister Lisa, because I'm an educator and curriculum instructor. If you want to get any kind of advice, Sister Lisa, my sister, she is best to handle that, because to me, personally, he needs auditing and he needs the social work. So that's more for a social worker than an educator like myself. I can teach you how to bring them in school or a trade school, but I am not in the expertise of social and his social. So Sister Lisa, I think you're more qualified to handle this question.
Well, I'm just your little sister, but in my humble experience, I would like to say that we all have to be careful when we send our children to independent schools. METCO is almost like sending your child to an independent school in the suburbs, and we know this is almost in hindsight, but because my child went to an independent school too, although I work in public school, but we always had to make sure he had the balance. And knowing who he was, like I was saying earlier, and had a healthy love for self and a love for being black, and always exposing him to black people, spoken word, the mosque, the study group, because some of our children, and even in the Nation of Islam, I find that, you know, that's the kind of price, you know, they go to independent school, they're around not all white people, but a lot of white people, a lot of wealthy white people, and, you know, when, you know, even though the messenger said you have walks in all friends in all walks of life, we have to make sure that they continue to have a healthy love for themselves so they don't lose themselves in that. They are not their education. The goal, as someone said early on, is to teach our children how to be one with God and to pursue a life that where they're reflecting the will of God, which is to help work for the liberation of our people. So what we did with our child when he was even six, like my mother did with me, who are you? And what role are you going to have in helping fight for the liberation of our people? My mother wasn't even in the nation, although she did start hearing the minister back when I was a young girl cleaning household chores when the minister had his weekly broadcast. But those are the type of things. You know, I turned our town and said, who are you? You know, what are you going to do? And that's something you want to do. It's not too late to say, you know, my son went to me and said, Mom, I'm six. You know, the front teeth are missing, got that little lisp. I'm six. I know you're six, baby. I just need to know. And I say this to the children in the hallways of the schools where I work. You know, young man, I need you to pull up your pants. What are you going to be when you grow up? Oh, shoot, you walk like an entrepreneur. You know, I'm always
that's
promoting
right.
that. But this young man... it's not too late. Don't let him cut off from the family and get involved with a cult,
right.
sounds like a cult, you know. I'm not saying it's a cult, but this group, you know, don't let him cut off. He's the child. You're the adult. Find a way to stay connected to him and just, you know, just help and build. Bring him to the study group, you know, in Cambridge. You said he was out in Cambridge. Well, you know, by the help of Allah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has just encouraged my husband, Student Minister Radi Muhammad, to open a new Nation of Islam study group right there in Cambridge. I'm talking, we're meeting twice a week with the residents and other guests. Perhaps he could be one of those guests. Well, we're working to restore our people's sense of self-worth and working to tap into their hidden potential. Maybe he just needs to be around this environment, you know, and how are we doing that? By the same way we're doing it in every city throughout America. We're studying the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know. We're
That's
sitting
right.
there discussing
Beautiful.
And parsing self-improvement and a study guide, you know, that was designed by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, we're working to help children and adolescents to close the gap, you know, and those academic disparities through the STEM program. You know, he's a bright young man. Perhaps he'll want a mentor or do something like that. But I find that I was reading an article that they were saying that during COVID, a lot of our youth have become depressed. And I would be negligent if I didn't address what my sister said about suicide, because it's all tied in. When you're not feeling a sense of self-worth, where you're not seeing where and how you can fit in, where you're not seeing that you have a future, these are things that make young men and young women go astray or feel like they want to check out because they're not feeling satisfied with what life is offering them. So now that's when we have to come together, not just family members, because it takes, what, a village to raise a child. This is where we
right.
pull our children in, because they are all our children, whether we have them by birth or not. And we should be encouraging every child we walk by. Me, I don't have to know them. I don't have to know their name. And I'm sure, sisters, you do the same thing as principals, educators, judges, people in this field. So, Sister Dora, I know there's a lot to be said, but if he's in the Cambridge area, feel free to invite the young man out to the Muhammad Study Group of Cambridge, where we can kind of mentor him and bring him back and pull him in through his interest, rather through the STEM program. And so I just wanted to say that as a possibility.
Beautiful.
And then
well,
I thought about getting involved in a trade is good, because
is it
it's real. You really have black people who feel like they don't mesh or have anything in common with other black people. And that's because they've
right.
been allowed to just go and we're feeling all proud. Yeah, they out there with those whiteys. Yeah, they're making it. No, they're not. They better stay woke.
Yeah, and that's beautiful.
I'm going
to
take your black
it.
Card. Oh, no, Ma, not my black card. Don't take the black card. Don't
yeah.
play.
Yeah.
Take your black card.
I want to. A quote from this article, Education for Life and Nation Building, which, again, appeared in the Final Call. And one of the things that the sister made a statement about how the educational system is really to separate us from our children. So we got to always remember that and choose wisely. And I think with what the sister is also saying, another quote is that we have to teach civilization. And civilization is that key part of life that teaches knowledge, wisdom, understanding, culture, refinement, and is not savage. It's the pursuit of happiness. And so I think the beautiful thing that I'm trying to say is that with this explosion of black knowledge of self that's in the world, just being exposed to that teaching, as Sister Lisa is saying, you know, will definitely, you know, encourage our youth to know the knowledge of themselves. So I wanted to open up the mic for Brother Louis Ali. He has a comment, and then we'll come right on back to the discussion. Brother Louis, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How y'all doing?
Fine, by Allah's grace. How about yourself, sir?
We're doing good, learning a lot. Very powerful show.
All praises
and
to Allah.
Just saying so much, you know.
Praises to Allah. Yes, sir.
I, I really think that we should reflect on what Carter G. Woodson said when he talked about the miseducation of the Negro, because in many instances, it's better to have no education than the poison of miseducation. And when we send our children to an environment dominated by God's enemy, and they don't even have an identity, because since we are the sin of integration, we stop teaching young people their identity. And that puts you at a tremendous disadvantage when they have an identity and our children don't. So without an identity, you don't have a purpose. And the Quran teaches that Allah creates nothing without aim and purpose, but it's key for us to give an identity to our people, but especially to our children. So those of us who join the nation, before you can even register, you have to write a letter. And that letter, where you talk about reclaiming your home and you declare yourself to be a righteous Muslim, it's all about identity. And the identity fuels the purpose of you going to reclaim your own and do something for self. There is some language that previous generations of black people had that I wish we could go back to. And black men and women pushed this, but especially black women pushed it. And you would see it in newspapers. They would call young people a credit to the race. And they would say, when you grow up, young man or young woman, you're going to be a race man. We need to have more children focusing on being a nation man and telling them the needs of the nation rather than just sending them to these sterile environments without a purpose. Because oftentimes, even if they make good grades, they become outright nation traitors and race traitors to their own people. The reason why the young man may not want to be around black people is because he's confusing black people with Negroes. And he don't know the difference because he don't have an identity. The identity will fuel him to wanting to get a high-quality education, to be successful in his skilled trades or whatever he's into. But without his identity, he don't have much. And that's the thing that we don't focus on enough, meaning our generation, is teaching young people, particularly black boys. Like, for example, you really can't motivate a black boy's ambition if he don't have an enemy, because he don't have nothing to fight for. And that just makes him so milquetoast and weak until it's easy for the enemy to come destroy him. So I just wanted to make that little comment that they're stripping our children of identity to a degree to where they don't even know their sexual orientation anymore. And sadly, we don't teach identity or lean in on the importance of identity in order to fuel purpose like we did in previous generations. So thank you for letting me make a comment, Sister Pam, and I'm enjoying the show. Assalamu alaikum. I don't know, did I get cut off?
No, sir, brother.
I'm sorry.
Right there, brother.
That's me with this mute. But I wanted to say, Walaika Salam, and me and this mute button, excuse me, audience, but I wanted to say that Brother Lewis is an entrepreneur in the state of Louisiana who does have several programs that train young black males, and so we really do appreciate his comments, and we love to hear from, you know, black men giving us, you know, the truth, that real truth. Because, Dr. Kelmer, I wanted you to – we're talking about solutions. We're talking about excellence. And we are – I think we want to talk a little more about, you know, some of these wonderful products that are being turned out in the nation of young people graduating at 15 and 16 with so much academic excellence, science and, you know, mathematicians and doctors and, you know, going on to become doctors. Talk to us about how independent education, you know, experience in facilitating and producing these guides through education.
Well,
All praise is due to Allah. I am truly blessed and honored that my mother and father raised me and the Nation of Islam, my brother and sisters. It was eight of us. And so, you know, I had the opportunity and I was blessed to be raised by a strong mother and father that, of course, education was the key. And, of course, being at Muhammad's University, and let's continue on the path. When I decide to get into the education field, I realized that, you know, I started off as a preschool. And then basically I was bored, and I said, well, let me just teach some, you know, universal facts to our children. So I started teaching the solar system, and I was surprised and amazed how our children grew up as a sponge. And then next, you know, make a long story short, it ended up where people were coming to me, and then I had to open up a school and things like that, and it grew to the point where, you know, I was by myself. So then, you know, things happened. I had to shut the first school down, but I knew I was going to open it up again. And I wanted to do what the messenger taught us to do, is that our children should be graduating with our PhDs. And I kept saying to myself, how am I going to do this? How am I going to implement getting our children to graduate at 18 with a PhD? And lo and behold, you know, you keep working at it and chiseling at it. I realized, and if you notice, a lot of our children, they're graduating at 14 with master's degrees and 15 and so forth. And I realized that the public school system is not designed to teach above and beyond, you know, that it's just basically teaching children how to be robots, how to get a job. And when you go to college, they teach you how to get a job, how to get a job. And so I took the messenger's teaching, and I realized that really our children really don't need public school at all. The only reason why they keep them in public school to get that state dollars. But if you look at celebrities, everyone's graduating at 9 and 10 years old with a high school diploma. And I remember watching Little House on the Prairie when I was young, and how Laura Ingalls, she had graduated high school at the eighth grade. Because if you look at education, it's really built on the basics, math, reading, and writing. So I decided to do was like, okay, and I prayed to Allah, and I said, look, I would love to do this school, but I can't do it by myself. And all praise is due to Allah, I got the opportunity to work with a partner and to find out how to do it. So now I'm having children graduate at 14 with their high school diploma and using that extra money to where they can get their master's or their doctor's degree by 18. I'm putting that into progress. And as I'm stating to everyone, it's just not me. It could be all of us, because reality, you don't need to be in school up to 18 years. And there's ways that, do you all understand that you really don't need a high school diploma? If you can get your children and pay for the junior colleges and pay for some of those classes, these children are graduating with associate's degrees at 14 and 15 years old, if you can do it. But if you can't do it, this is the time we got to look at, find those avenues, those cracks, to teach our children outside of the public school. As the sister was saying, and I was listening to her about her son, only thing that came to mind is this: he needs to be around black mentors, because at the age of 13, especially at 9 years old, this is when young men, they need to be around men to mentor them, the FOI class, or even some type of black entrepreneurship. He needs to see positive images in his life. And so same thing with the young girls. We need to see positive images. At 14 years old, especially at 14 years old, and I can even say at 9, we need to start creating bases, not just outside the MGT class, but outside the MGT class. We need to start bringing our children into those things that's going to start building their minds. And so all praise is due to Allah. Now I'm getting our children to graduate within 6 months with a high school diploma and then move on to getting their associate's bachelor's degree. And then, you know, they can't get a job, so they might as well finish college. But we're there to assist them as well. As soon as they hit 15, we're putting men and, you know, not people with degrees, but people who have skills and say, hey, we have young men. They need to learn how to change a tire. They need to learn how to do those things. We need to utilize our communities, and that's not what we're doing. We need to get those brothers who knows how to do auto mechanic and say, hey, can you teach some of our boys this class? Can we bring them over here? We need to start setting up things collectively. One last point I just want to make, and it just finally dawned on me. I was trying to build a house, and I said, I need to get this big, elaborate house, but, you know, crises are just hitting, you know, our economy. So finally, it just came to me in my mind, build a smaller house. Start small. Then you go from there. When I started my school, I started from my house. And then from my house, it grew. If we start doing things for ourselves, now there's no excuse. We get around. We don't have to just utilize everybody inside the mosque. We got to go outside the mosque. We have brothers out there who are mechanics, who are electricians. Get them around, who also are those who are do gardening and things like that. Let's get our children around our community so they can see the positive images in our community. Ask them, would they help teach a class here and there? Can we bring them there? I promise you the community would love to gather around and assist in this help. We don't have to just sit and wait until this big bucks come down. We can start doing things now. But it's up to us to do these things.
Yes, yes, beautiful. Professor Kelmer, thank you so much for those what you're saying. You are so correct. You know, and I wanted to say as well, for those parents who are listening, even adding to your child's curriculum, as this article is saying, regarding the education and nation building, said it's important to apply what you learn. You know, theory alone won't help. And so this young brother, he gave an example of how his mom or his parent would buy him science kits that he would build every week. And he talks about how, you know, those things help you to get those underrated skills that may not be offered by your school. So along with what Professor Kelmer just so beautifully articulated, you know, I think under your theory about how even if it's a small house, you know, small efforts of spending time with your children and building their skills yourself, as opposed to just relying on somebody else to totally do the job, is so important. Let me go ahead and open up the mic. We have Sister Marguerite is on the line, and she has a question or comment. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Marguerite.
Yes, alaikum salam. I'm so glad to hear my sister, Dr. Kelma, on the line. She reminded me of my college days, and I became so angry and militant when going to college because I felt I was being used and abused because I was being forced to take courses that had nothing to do with what I wanted to do. And so I quit college. I was paying for it out of my pocket. So I'm like, you know, you're not going to use and abuse me. But I did get the opportunity to talk to Mr. Fox, who was at the time president of ASU, and I asked him, why is it that you, when you're in college, you have to take all this BS, wasting my time, filling up your treasury? When Asian students go to college, they take pertinent subjects that get right to what they need to do, and then they move on. So you see students outstrip our students left, right, and center because of the focus they have, and they're not trying to make money off of you taking business administration, and you want to, you know, be a dancer. So I was able to see also how with the children they do the same thing. They have a lot of subject matter in these schools. They don't need to be there all day. You know, just as the messages say, 4 hours in the morning for the girls or the boys and 4 hours for the other. And that's it. Because their learning curve drops drastically anyway after so many hours. So we really need to take this into consideration and form our own school structures. I don't think we need to wait on anybody. I don't think we need to get no vouchers, wait for approval, do as we did when we came out of slavery. We started our own system, and we supported it. And the money is in the fish's mouth.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Marguerite. Thank you so much for your words. We really appreciate that. And, you know, yes, ma'am. Praises be to Allah. Thank you so much. And so we're winding down. But, you know, again, looking at the concerns and the risk that come from not heeding the call to educate our children and to take greater responsibility and accountability for our own children, these zero tolerance policies that people talk about with the prison to pipeline, school to prison pipeline, which is really just the process of criminalizing youth out by disciplinary policies and practices within schools that put students into contact with law enforcement. This is so very real, with black children being, you know, three times more likely to be suspended and, you know, and expelled from schools, and then they're put out into these streets. And I just wanted to say that when I think about black children being a lot of times socializing with white students, I have seen harsher punishments being given to black children or juveniles that have come into my law office who may have been out parading around with white children, you know, and the white children may get a slap on the wrist for the very same conduct that the black child ends up having their life ruined and permanently, you know, just broken. So this is a very serious time we're living in. We didn't talk about the vaccine, but we do know that this is something that's on the table that they're trying to push on our children. And so it's very important that, you know, we do look at solutions and, you know, looking at these very real outcomes that we've seen, and we want better. It's time for us to have better for our children. So I want to go ahead and give Professor Kelmer, tell people how they can contact her if that's some information that you would like to give, Sister Lisa, Sister Atala, if you all would like to give any information on how you can be contacted. Sit out.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah, and I thank you once again for inviting me and onto this panel. And I just want to say, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his last and greatest messenger. And I further bear witness for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is guiding us in this dreadful time. I just want to say this to all of our listening audience. We are living in a time now that we have no choice but separation and to come together,
right,
and we have to depend on each other. So whether you want to hem and haw now or suffer the consequences now, it's time for us to get our children out of these public schools, because these public schools are killing fields, and it's going to get worse, and they're going to mandate where they're going to have to take those shots and so forth. And as you can tell, they're putting that they decide to take away where we can't teach what we're supposed to, critical race theory or whatever it is, and now they're putting more of the homosexuality in our school. This is the time, please get your children out of these schools. These schools are not for our children, and the longer you keep them in it, the more they put them into them and interject. And this is the reason why our beloved sister's having a hard time with her child. If you want to know more about my program, please, you can find me at, this is my website at az-ahna.org. az-anna, A-H-N-A.org. That's my website. And you can also reach me at Professor Kelmer, K-E-L-M-E-R, ProfessorKelmer@gmail.com. May Allah bless you all, and I look forward to speaking with any of you all when it comes to how can we start building around the world our independent schools.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Sister Attila, I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, close with a couple, you know, a few words, because you do work in a public school environment, and there are some things that parents can do to get better outcomes, right, and have more accountability for their outcomes with their children. So what would you suggest until that time that they can take them out? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We just have to get back to the belief that our children are our most valuable asset. When a child comes home from school, stop asking, how was your day? Ask what happened. Stop saying to your child, well, I'm sorry that happened. Tell them, we'll figure it out. And when we ask those open-ended questions, then we can find out what actually happened. Because if they get in middle school, they're going to tell you, I had a good day. It was fine, and that's it. The second thing, I think as parents, we also have to have a growth mindset. Our children will model what they see. So that looks like when we come home, when we're frustrated, how do we deal with our children? We can't expect them to advocate for themselves and have conversations and things if all we're doing is yelling at them, or if all we're doing is telling them what to do and not giving them a choice of how to do it. Now, I know some things are non-negotiable. Yes, you have a bedtime. Yes, you're going to read. Yes, yes, yes. But you have to give them the choice sometimes. And then we have to encourage our children to be curious. I mean, I think with our children, we don't do that enough. We, you know, just let them explore. Let them be curious when they do something that's not, you know, just, I don't know. I'm trying to look for the word.
Increasing creativity.
And we have to watch our vocabulary with our children, just our vocabulary. Mm. They believe in themselves if we believe in them.
Beautiful.
So, and they learn it at home. If we start doing it at home, then they start expecting it at school. As parents, we have to advocate, and we have to let teachers know this is our expectation.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Very important. Okay. Thank you so much for that. And Sister Lisa, if you want to give us some of your wise words as we are closing out, sis.
Yes,
because trauma is really it's a big trauma and grief and all of those things that these babies are experiencing coming from homes. What can parents do? What do they need to do a better job at, I guess?
I think we need to be more in tune with our children. I know because of the economy, some of us are working one and two jobs, but we have to make time for family. We need to go back to having dinner at the table, and as the sister said, talking to our children and setting the atmosphere, making sure that the home is peaceful, model what healthy relationship and marriage looks like, or just healthy families. We have to pray. We have to keep God at the center of our homes. Like the minister said during COVID, make your homes a place of worship. It should be clean. It shouldn't be cluttered, because that affects their mindset. Then they feel like things are closing in on them. Keep a relationship with them. Don't be judgmental. Kind of, wait, really? Wow. Is that what happened? Get the information before we shut them down so they'll always feel comfortable regardless of the age. Our child's 25, and he'll still tell me, maybe not everything, okay? I'm not delusional over here. But, you know, he tells me a lot of things, and I think it's important for us to keep that relationship open, the lines of communication. Islam is love. Let's show love and compassion. Let's teach our children to not just be about them, but to also care and to give back to others. Let's do what my mother did for me, was to show them, like the brother said, that you are here for a purpose and a reason, and help them figure out what their purpose is in life. And when they show an interest, let's nurture that interest. You're interested in medical, you're interested in art, let's run and buy the art supply. Let's send them to the summer program at MIT. Let's nurture them and tell them that they can do anything, accomplish anything that they put their minds to, so that they feel like they have a sense of purpose, so that they're not feeling depressed, you know, and hopeless, and helpless. Let's make sure that we never let there be a meeting at school without us being present.
Let's That's right. Stop yes, letting ma'am.
On IEPs. If they have a, everybody has a different learning style, you know, but that's them setting up that narrative. You know, some children have a learning disability. That's good. The teacher should be teaching to all four types of learning, visual, audio, hands-on learner anyway, you know. So let's take them out of the schools. Let's have more confidence in ourselves. Let's read the curriculum. My husband and I read the curriculum from first grade all the way through high school. We knew what they were studying, what chapter, what book it was, and we saw if we approved with the book or not, you know. Let's set up a time for them to do their homework at the kitchen table or the dining room table before they go on PlayStation and TV, even if it is the new math and we don't get it. Just make sure they do it. Let us be sound reading.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm
That's
sorry.
Right.
I can go on and on to the break of dawn. Did you hear that, Judge Nichelle?
Yes,
I
ma'am.
Know your husband.
Yes, ma'am.
That was a joke. That was a jokey joke.
Praise
but
God.
Anyway, but if anyone's interested in reaching out to me, I can be reached at Muhammad Lisa, M-U-H-A-M-M-L-I-S-A, 390 at gmail.com. I could be reached at Muhammad Lisa, 390 at gmail.com. I can also be reached at noimuhammadcambridge@gmail.com. So if anyone's interested and wants to reach out to me, they can email me with any questions, anything I can do to help our people. You know, my prayer, my sacrifice, my life, and my death is all for Allah. So I don't know it all. I don't have all the answers. But if I don't have it, I will try to get it.
That's right.
So
Sister
thank you for having
Judge
me on
Michelle.
Your show.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Lisa. Sister Judge
right,
Michelle,
Sister
we're down
Lisa.
To one
just
minute.
To
Did you want to close
one
us
minute.
Out?
I just wanted to say it is not lost on me that we talk about
Praise.
The hereafter, and it is the work that's going to be done. And what we're going to find is ever since 1930, when Master Prophet Muhammad came here 9,000 miles, an awakening was happening. Our people are clear. There are other people studying, knowing that the black man is God and all of these things. So we're watching the subtle signs. Supreme Court, they did Roe v. Wade, but guess what else happened? They said that money could be taken to a religious school or any school of your choice. Another thing happened. Somebody was okay to pray in a school.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot to me is showing subtle hints of things that are coming to pass in line with what we're taught. And all we have to do is be in it to win it, because it's going to be here, but after this wicked rule. So I'm clear, the moves we make silently in a small way that turn big, it's going to be here and we're going to be after. So all praises due to Allah for all of the sisters on the front lines, because the black woman, as we are taught, is going to be at the front of it. I think we're ready and we're willing and we're able. And God is showing us through what's happening in the time that this is coming
yes,
fast
ma'am.
And furious. All praises
all right.
due to Allah.
I love it. Praises be to Allah. So thank you all for listening to A Time for Justice on the Elevated Places Network. To hear previous shows, you can log on to Blog Talk Radio. I would like to thank Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, Brother Terrence Muhammad, Sister Donna Muhammad. Of course, those are people with the Elevated Places team. And, of course, our beloved Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, her show, The Elevated Places, comes on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we thank her for graciously allowing us this airtime. We thank Allah. I thank my daughter, Samaya Muhammad, who is the producer on my show, and I thank you all for taking the time, Sister Lisa, Sister Dr. Kelmer, Sister Atala, and Judge Nichelle, for spending the time with us today, as well as for the callers and the listeners and for everybody who participated, because it is so very important that we talk about our children because they are our future, and we want the outcome that we want. We want success. We want them to be God's, and we do know that we have to be accountable. So thank you again for listening to A Time for Justice. As-salamu alaykum.
Salam. Happy
Saturday.
Love you all.
Keep doing the work.
Keep doing the work. We're going to get to hereafter. All praise due to Allah.
Praise due to Allah.